Good morning. As you know, we're not meeting here today in the building at the Waverly Church of Christ, but pray that you and your families are meeting together in your homes, that today is a good day for you, that God has blessed you, and that you're staying safe and well. Today I have a message that I think is very fitting for the occasion, for what's going on around us, and I am glad that you're able to be a part of this message. I want to begin with a statement. That statement is something that probably you have heard at one time or other yourself. It is the words or the statement, life is fragile. We see that all around us as we live out our lives on a daily basis. We hear of people passing away, or we hear of people who are sick. We turn on our televisions and we're made aware of a hurricane that has struck the eastern or southeastern part of our country, or of an earthquake that has struck the western part of our country. We learn of fires and floods that are all around us. And then only recently we were made aware of the tornadoes that came through our state. And now we're being told of a virus that is considered to be a pandemic and is affecting so many throughout the world. In all of these things, we are made aware of just how fragile life is. When we're young, in our youth, we believe that we are invincible, that nothing can touch us, that we're going to live forever. But then we, as we age, we begin to realize that nature itself can threaten us. Satan is constantly seeking to destroy us. He's stalking us, as Scripture says, and death is ever before us. From a very young age, we want to be self-sufficient. Every one of us, I'm sure, has had that child or seen that child when a parent or a grandparent offers to help them with something, they say, I do it myself. In other words, I want to take care of myself. I don't want your help. And yet, what we find all too often is that there are those times when we need someone else to help us, that we're not as self-sufficient, we're not as independent as we want to be. And as we grow older, we realize even more how much we depend upon others and how much we need the help of those around us. I want to share with you a psalm this morning. It's only 8 verses long. The writer is anonymous. We're not told who has written this psalm, but it is a psalm that speaks to, I think, our situation today. It is the 121st psalm. And as we look at this psalm, I hope that what I can do and what you will see within it are God's words to us about who we should be turning to in times such as these. There's a question that we often ask ourselves when we find our lives dealing with such issues as this today. It is a question, where's my help coming from? That is the question that the psalmist asks, from where does my help come? And when we find ourselves with a life that is struggling right now, we will sometimes ask ourselves, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to take care of this? But then when we begin to see that things are beyond our ability, we begin to look for help outside ourselves. We may ask, who's going to help me with this? Who can I go to that can show me a way to take care of this? And as the psalmist writes, he says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. What is it about the mountains that caused him to look up to the mountains? Like many of you, I enjoy traveling to East Tennessee. I love the beauty of the mountains, the Smoky Mountains, the privilege to hike in those mountains, to see the majestic nature of them. And that's what we often think of when we think of mountains, the majesty of the mountains, the strength that they seem to portray. But there's something else that the psalmist thinks of when he looks to the mountains. And he tells us in verse 2, he says, my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. You see, what he was looking for was the one who made the mountains, not the mountains themselves. He was looking beyond the mountains to the creator of the mountains, to the one who made the heavens and the earth. We read Genesis 1. And we're told that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He is our sustainer. I want to take you back to another psalm, Psalm 125, because in that psalm, the first two verses are very powerful, because there the psalmist says that those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. And then in verse 2, he adds, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. That is a beautiful concept. As mountains surround the city of Jerusalem, so God surrounds His people. God surrounds us. He sustains us. He commanded everything that we see, and it came into being, and now He sustains it. It's as Paul said in a sermon that he preached, or a discourse he had with philosophers in Athens there on Mars Hill. He said that in Him we live and move and have our being. He is the one who cares for us. But what is it about God that should cause us to look to Him during this difficult time, this time of testing? There are three things that the psalmist brings out in the last six verses of the psalm. And the first of those is this: God is the one who keeps us. Or listen to the way he puts it in verse 3 and 4. He says, He will not allow your foot to slip. And he adds, He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Why is that true? It is because of something David said. God is our rock. He is our fortress. He is our deliverer. He stands beside us. And not only that, as the psalmist says here, He will not allow your foot to slip. Have you ever found yourself slipping on a surface that was not secure? Maybe a patch of ice in the wintertime, perhaps a piece of wet ground at this time of the year, or maybe even in the summer when you're wading in the creeks with a child. You step on that slippery rock just beneath the surface of the water, and suddenly you're in the water because you don't have a firm footing. But God gives us firm footing. He helps us to stand. And what is necessary for God to keep us is something that we may not think of, and that is that God has to be ever watchful. You know, a watchman that has a responsibility of protecting a piece of property is of no value if that watchman falls asleep on duty. A sentry who is given the responsibility to guard a gate isn't doing much good if that sentry falls asleep on duty. But God doesn't fall asleep on duty. As a matter of fact, God never falls asleep. He's always awake, because our God never grows weary. He never grows tired. You and I can go to Him in prayer. It doesn't matter if it's 2 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He's always awake. He's always ready to hear our prayers. I'm reminded of something that the prophet Isaiah said over in Isaiah 40. Let me share with you a verse, verse 28. And he asked two questions of those who are reading. He says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Well, what is it, Isaiah? He tells us, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary and tired. You and I, as we age, it's easier for us to become tired, to grow weary, to even become exhausted. Eventually, we will die. But the beautiful thing is that the eye of the Lord is always upon us. Every moment of our lives, He's watching us. And you and I will be kept by Him, not just to the point that we draw our last breath upon this earth, but even beyond that, because He does that. So the first thing that the psalmist wants us to know is that God keeps us. But not only does He keep us, He protects us. Look at verses 5 and 6. He says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. He tells us there that the sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Think about that. God is our keeper. God is the one who is our shade on our right hand. Have you ever been out on a hot summer day? The sun is beating down upon you. you're looking for some relief. You seek out a shade tree or maybe an awning or something that provides just a bit of shade. If you're a parent or a grandparent watching a child play in a game, perhaps you're sitting out under one of those awnings that you can put up quickly just to block off the sun. Why? Because the sun, as it bears down on us, it draws our energy, it saps us of our strength, and we want protection from it. But he says, the psalmist that is, says that God is our shade on our right hand, and he tells us the sun will not smite us by day nor the moon by night. In other words, what he's telling us is that God's protection is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that he's watching over us. Now, is he saying that there will be no adversity that comes to us? Is he telling us that you and I will live a life in which we have wealth and health and nothing will affect those things? No, that's not what he's saying. As a matter of fact, there is a man in the Old Testament scriptures, a man by the name of Job. You may be familiar with him. There's a book that bears his name. And in the very first verse of that book, there is a statement made about the character of this man. We're told that he is blameless, that he is upright, that he fears God, and that he turns away from evil. He's about as good a man as you might want to find anywhere. And he's also an exceptionally wealthy man. Has a tremendous amount of property in the way of flocks and herds, which were considered the wealth of the day. He's also blessed with 7 children. But then in one day, everything that he owns is taken from him in tragic events. And as if the taking of his property, of his herds and his flocks, and even the death of so many of his servants is not tragic enough, he is also told that suddenly his children have died while in a house celebrating with one of the siblings. A storm suddenly strikes the house. It collapses on them, and all of them are dead. And as if that weren't enough in itself, as we come to the next chapter, we find him sitting in a pile of ashes with a broken piece of pottery, scraping boils on his skin. This was a man who was blameless, upright, feared God, and turned away from evil. But yet God allowed him to suffer. God allows us to suffer. He doesn't promise that we'll never have problems. But what he does tell us is that we will not face those problems alone. He promises that his love will never separate from us. And that is a promise that Paul makes, that height or depth or any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God is our keeper. He keeps us. He is our protector. But there's something else that the psalmist says. It's what we find in the very last 2 verses of the psalm. It is this statement, God preserves us. Listen to these words. There in verse 7, he says, the Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. And then in verse 8, the Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Think about that. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. That's what all of us need, is a God who protects us from evil. There is no attack from the devil that can destroy our souls. There is no evil that God will allow to completely take us from him. All of our goings and our comings are monitored by the God that we serve. I know that gives me comfort. I hope it does you. But the question in all of that is, how long? How long will that continue? Verse 8, he tells us, from this time forth and forever. In other words, starting now and continuing throughout eternity. God's watch care is always upon us. He preserves us because that's the God we serve. Now, as you think about these things, the idea that God keeps us, that God protects us, that God preserves us, as we think about what's going on around us, not just in our country, but in our world, what our news media seems to be inundated with, what more can we ask for than a God who does these things for us? And having said that, I want to share with you a beautiful hymn that we often sing here in our own congregation. I didn't realize until I looked it up just how recent it is, but it was written in 1984 by a lady named Alison Krauss. But the words, I think they're words that if the psalmist had seen this, if it had been available to him, he would have wanted to sing it himself. Listen to what she writes. I'm going to share with you, there are four stanzas. We'll share with you the first two, and then the chorus, and then the last two in the chorus, because I think there's a point at which he makes something, a point she makes in this that we need to hear. She says, "I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for the skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today, I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow, I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand." Let me stop there for just a moment. There are so many things about what tomorrow holds for us that we don't know. There are so many things about the future that we can't plot out. Various things are being canceled as we turn on our news. Events, sporting activities, things that weddings and other things that many have been involved in are being canceled and rescheduled, hoping for a time when the virus will no longer be a concern. But we don't know what tomorrow holds. If the question is not about tomorrow, the question is about who holds our hand. And as Ms. Krauss declared, "I don't worry about tomorrow." Why? Because Jesus walks beside me and He's holding my hand. Now, the last two stanzas, I think, are meant for those who are children of Christ, who are maybe I should say, Christians and children of God. And here's what he says, or she says, in this hymn. "Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver lined. There, the sun is always shining. There, no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand." Think about that. For those of us who are Christians, regardless of what happens in this world, regardless of what happens to us, every day is a little bit brighter. Every step we take is drawing us a little bit closer to the home that we all long for, that eternal abode of the redeemed, where our God is and where His Son awaits us. And as we climb toward that eternal home, as we fix our eyes above on the One who has saved us and redeemed us, our journey is made easier. Again, we don't know about tomorrow. We don't know what it holds. We may not even seem to understand why some of the things happen around us. We may question them. But the key is this: while we don't know about tomorrow, while we don't seem to understand, what we do know is who holds tomorrow. And what we want to know is who holds our hand. My question for you today, as you reflect upon the things that we've looked at in the psalm, to whom do we turn? We lift our eyes upward. Why? Because God is our help. He keeps us. He protects us. He preserves us. And the truth is, it's not about what happens tomorrow or the next day or the next. It's about who's holding our hand. My question for you today is, whose hand are you holding and who's holding your hand? Is the Lord that we serve the one who's holding your hand? Are you walking beside Him on a daily basis? If you're not, then I want to encourage you to do so, because the comfort that He provides for us who are Christians is a comfort that we can't begin to explain, but it nevertheless is there, and He will see us through whatever the times may be. Perhaps today, as you hear this message, you realize, I've been holding on to everything but the right thing. I've been looking everywhere for help but in the right place. I want to encourage you, why not turn to the Lord? Turn away from any sin in your life, confess His name, and seek to be baptized. Let Him wash away your sins. Let Him cleanse you of all of the guilt, and let Him create within you a clean heart and give to you a life that is abundant and eternal. Thank you for being with us this morning, and may God bless and keep you and yours.